Rav Nosson Zal says, Val Pize, based on what we explained in the previous paragraphs, Nuchal Loimar will be able to understand Shezehu Bechinas Shmira Bevailim. With this, we could also understand the laws of a person watching someone else's object while that someone else is present at the time, Shepotro HaTorah, where the Torah says that the Shomer is potur for any liability so long as the owner is present with the object that the owner lent to the Shomer. As it says clearly in the Chumash, Ba'olav Einimoy Shalem Yishalem. If the owner is not present, then the Shoyel has to pay. Then the one that borrowed the object, he's going to have to pay. Imbolavimoy, whereas if the owner is present, Lo Yishalem. If the owner is present, then the shoyel, the borrower, will not have to pay for any damage that happens to the cow or whatever, or the drill or whatever it is that was being lent at the time. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain for us to know who's responsible for what and why. Ki be'emes, because the real truth is, Iker habiru va'aliyas hanafoshos sheyesh b'chol dovor hu al yidei habailim shel hadovor daika. One thing is for sure, that the main responsibility for fixing up any object and elevating any neshamos in that object, the main responsibility for doing that is on the owner of the object. Whoever owns a house, or owns a car, or owns a drill, or owns food, it's that person's responsibility to make the tikkun of the neshamos that's found in that item. Ki elu hachafetzim hem sheloi, because these objects belong to him. V'chol hahanois sheyesh bohem shehem bechinas nefoshos hem sheloi, and because the object belongs to him, and any pleasure or usage from that object belongs to the owner. And we learned before that the pleasure from an object or the usage of the object comes from the souls inside that object, the nefoshos, the spiritual life that's in a table or a drill or a house or anything it is. It's the nefoshos in that you're connecting to when you have the usage of an item. If I borrow somebody's musical instrument, I need to play at a wedding or this, that, and I didn't, mine isn't working, I borrow it from somebody else, and I'm having the usage of that object again, I'm having the usage of the nefesh inside that object. The hanoah that comes from an object is coming from the nefoshos in that object. Therefore, the assumption is that it's upon the owner of the object, upon him is the burden of responsibility to be mevarer those nefoshos, to make the biru, the refinement, and to be male those nefoshos. Ki be'emes kol hachafetzin shehem ho'ashirus shel ho'odom heim bechinas shoyresh hanefoshos. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, the fact is, all objects of a person, which represent the wealth of that person, represent the shoyresh of that person's nefesh, and his family's nefoshos. Ki kol hanefoshos shoroshom bashirus. Because all the Jewish souls are plugged into a place called wealth. Kanal, as we mentioned earlier, Kimavur b'divrei Rabbeinu Bayer Hetev b'mokom acher, as is explained in a chapter on Likut Imran very, very well, chapter 68. It's there that Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Gemara, which says that if a person steals money from you or anything, you should chase him even to the other end of the world to get the money back. Yelech achrav afilu lemodai. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there, he quotes the Gemara that says that if a person steals from someone, steals money, it's as if he stole his wife and kids. And Rabbeinu Zal explains, in those Torahs and Likutei Imran, he explains, according to Kabbalah and other things, showing how the nefoshos, the souls of a person's wife and kids, are plugged into his money, his ashiros. So by that person taking away your money, he could actually be taking away chas v'shalom rachman al son kids, that kind of thing. And in the Meforshim, they quote a story related to this. Now, this is a very real item, that there's a connection between the nefoshos of a family and the possessions of the family, or the wealth of the family. So that's number one. Number two now, Rav Nosson Zal says, an additional piece to the puzzle, which is going to clarify the answer. Aval ha'odom bi'atzmoi hu lemalo me ho'ashirus shaloi. However, on one hand, I'm telling you that all the nefashos of a family are plugged into the wealth of that family. They're plugged into the mamon ashiros of that family, which is a certain spiritual address. It's on the 35th floor in heaven. That's where their wealth is. That's where their nefashos are plugged into. But Rav Nosson Zal says, the essence of those people, which he's going to explain in a moment, the das of those people is on a higher floor. That's on the 80th floor. The nefesh, when we talk about a Jew, there are different parts to a Jew. For example, we discuss nefesh, ruach, neshama. Those are three spiritual sections where the Arizal says nefesh is something which even an animal has. The spiritual source of life of animals is called nefesh. Ruach is a higher level spiritual source, which is something that only humans have, even non-Jews. Non-Jews have nefesh plus ruach. Neshama represents a third level of spiritual source, much higher level, which is something which only a Jew has. A non-Jew does not have neshama. So now Rav Nosson Zal is telling us here that a certain spiritual level of people is plugged into their ashirus. Their ashirus represents the source of their nefashos. But their neshamos, those people's souls, are in a higher place, as he's about to explain. Abol ha'odom bi'atzmoi, whereas the person themselves, hulamala meho ashirus shaloi, is above the source of their wealth. Afal pi shehu shoyrish hanefashos, even though we said that the wealth is the source of the nefoshos. Ki ho ashirus hu tachas yad ha'odom. Because even a person's wealth is below the true level of that person. The ha'odom hu lamala mimeno. Whereas the person is above his wealth. And he's about to explain. Exactly. He's going to explain it now. Ki ikar ha'odom ma shenikra odom zebechinas das. Because the essence of a person, the main part of a person, is that's the sechel of the person, of for which another word is the neshama of a person. That's when we talk about this person doesn't want to do this and this. What do we mean? This piece of flesh doesn't want to do. That's not what we're talking about. We're saying this neshama, this spiritual, you know, this person who's grade A, you know, he's a yid, he has a neshama, and his neshama is where his thinking comes from. It's where his decision making comes from, and that's the essence of the person. And when I say that he doesn't want to do this, or he does want to do this, we're saying that his neshama has made a decision to do this or not to do this. Zebechinas hadas shehu nikra odom kiyadua. That's the real odom. When we talk about a person, man, we're talking about the neshama portion. Vahadas shehu ikra odom hu lemala mishorish hanefashos shehu ashirus. The das of a person, let's take Mr. Friedman, a man by the name of Mr. Friedman. We said there's the nefoshos of the Friedman family, which are all plugged into their ashirus, which is in a certain high place in heaven. There's a certain address in heaven, which is the address of the ashirus of that family, and all of their nefoshos are plugged into their ashirus. However, the essence of the Friedman family, the neshamos of the Friedman family, the das of the Friedman family, is on a higher level than the ashirus. The ashirus is the source from which their nefoshos get chius. The das, their das, comes from a still higher place. V'alkein al yedei hadas hu yochel levarer hanefoshos ulahalom ulahamshech Torah kanal. And therefore, because Das is in such a high place, Das is the item that has the ability to make the Birur HaNefoshos, the refining of the Nefoshos, and the elevation of the Nefoshos, because the Das is above it. You always have to go to a place that's above where you need to make a tikkun, that kind of thing.
The Das?
The Sechel, the brains of the person, or the true soul of the person. Shezehu ikra hashmira kanal. And we said earlier that the birur hanefoshos and the haolas hanefoshos and the bringing down of Torah, that was the true shmira. Because when you bring down Torah, you're bringing down the hashgacha shleim of Hashem. That's how we spoke about it earlier, the complete supervision of Hashem. V'zeh b'chinas ha'baylim shel hadovor. This is what we mean when we talk about the owner of an object. Ki hadas hu b'chinas ha'baylim shel ho'ashirus shehu sheresh ha'nefoshes kiyodua. Now that Moshe Nassau is clarifying certain things which are going to be very important for us to know both on a Kabbalistic level and on a Gemara, Halacha level, as you'll see in 1 minute. Rav Nosson Zal is saying now there's three levels. There's the people, there's the family, which we're calling the nefashos, the people. There's the source of their nefashos, the source of their lowest level part of their soul, which is ashirus, which is wealth. And we say that all Jews, their nefashos come from a place called ashirus. And then there's a source higher than that, which is the das of the people, the neshamos of the people. And Rav Nosson Zal is saying here that the das, the neshama, is the owner of and is in control of and in charge of the ashirus, which is what controls the nefashos. Therefore, v'al kein, ikra aliyas hanefashos. Therefore, the main ability of elevating nefashos and making a birur and tikkun, and thereby bringing down Torah, which means bringing down the supervision of Hashem, which means bringing down true shmirah, comes from the das, comes from the bailim, the master. That's the ones that are in a position to elevate the nefashos, because that's the bailim. This is why you have in the Gemara the most elementary thing that kids learn when they start learning Gemara is Eilu Metzius, the Perek Eilu Metzius in Bav Metzia. And there the Gemara speaks about Yush Shaloi Midas, Yush Midas, that when does an item no longer become, when is an item taken out of a person's possession? When he doesn't know about the item anymore. If a person thinks that something is lost to him and that it's irretrievable, that's when he gives up on that item. Or when a person forgets about an item. The example, we once gave this example before, if a person has bank accounts in 10 banks in the world and he only remembers 9 of the banks, he only knows about 9 of them. The 10th one, he doesn't know. He forgot it completely, or he lost the savings account book. And as far as in his das, it doesn't exist anymore. Even though technically there's money sitting in an account from that bank, because he doesn't know about it at all, it's not really his. He doesn't really have it. It's only what you know about that you can call yours. And it's the knowledge of it that makes it yours to a big degree. So when we talk about the bailim of Ashirus, the owner of the wealth is the das. To the extent that a person is conscious of the fact that this is his, it's his. The moment the person becomes unconscious, shalemi das, then it's no longer his. That kind of thing. He doesn't know about it, so he doesn't have control over it in any way. The ikar hachiyuv shel hashomrim hu me'achar shehabaylim nistalku mishmira sadovar. And the main obligation of a watchman is only when the owner unplugs himself from the object, when the owner makes a decision to take himself out of the picture, v'tekev kishemisalkim einei mishmirosoi. As soon as the owners take their eyes off watching the item, they take themselves out of the picture, v'einam roitzim lashkiach b'yatzmam al zeh chefetz, they've decided that they no longer want to supervise the item, u'lishoymor and to watch it, Azai yoytzi hadovar mirshus habaylim. That's when the object leaves the possession of its owner and goes in. Vazai nichnas mirshus hashemer. That's when it enters into the ballpark of the watchman leinyan shmirah, regarding the obligation of watching over the item. It's only when the owner of the item decides to take his eyes off the item and to take his mind off the item. I'm leaving. I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks. I don't want to think about the fact that I live here and I have a house to look after and bills to look, I have to check the mailbox this down, so therefore I want to forget about it. Therefore I'm giving it over to you and I'm asking you to watch my house while I'm away. So it's only at the point in time that I unplug my das from my house At that point, my house goes into the ownership and supervision of the person that I designated as Shomer. Until then, it was my responsibility completely. V'alkein, chiyuv ha-shomrim maschil misho shenestalku ha-baila mishmirosoi kemevor b'shulchan aruch. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says, at which minute does the shomer become liable for the item? Only after the owner of the item has taken himself out of the picture. Only after the owner of the item has removed his shmirah, his shmirah. And Rav Nosson Zal adds here a note, v'afilu l'day ashniya, shesoyver, she'en achiyuv maschil rak mishas mishicha, even according to a second opinion in Shulchan Aruch, which says that even then, the shomer is not yet liable. The shomer isn't liable when the owner leaves. He becomes liable when he makes a kinyan in the object. The shomer has to make an actual kinyan in the house. Let's say, use the keys that the owner left him to go inside just to check, see everything's okay. It's when he does that, that's when his obligation for shmirah begins. Or the car he was told to watch, again, it's only when he goes over and locks the doors or unlocks it, does some kind of a physical action in the item. Ki heim soivrim, because the second opinion in Shulchan Aruch there holds, ki af al pi shenistalku abay lemishmirosoi, ve'enam roitzim oid laseh b'zad dover la'loise kanal, despite the fact that the owner of the object has taken his eyes and supervision off the item, and has decided to take himself out of the picture, laham shecholov hashgachosi yisborach, that he's, ve'enam roitzim oid laseh b'zad dover la'loise kanal, laham shecholov hashgachosi yisborach, the owner doesn't want to continue to be responsible to elevate the nefoshes in that object, which means to draw down the subject. Afal pikein, despite that, adayin lo nichnas bereshus hashemer ad sheyim shoich. Fine, it leaves person A's reshus, but it doesn't yet physically enter into B's reshus until B makes a move on the item. Aval al kol ponim, ein adover yoytzim reshus habaylim ki maidei shemestalek mishmirosoi. But one thing both opinions agree on, that for sure the object does not leave its owner's responsibility and supervision until the owner actually takes himself out. Until the owner says, I'm leaving, I'm no longer involved in the house, the car is yours now while I'm away, I'm out. Dahainu, she'enoi roitze oid lasik levarer lahalos hanefoshos she'esh bo zeh hadavar. It's only by the owner showing, making a step, to show that he no longer wants to be involved in elevating the nefoshos in that object, and thereby bringing down the hashgacha of Hashem on that object. Ulaham shech hashgacha idei zekaral, ki moistro lidei hashomer, because he's giving it over to the watchman. Ve'azai chal al hashomer chiyuv hazeh lahalos hanefoshos v'lam shechashgocha. It's from that point in time on that the responsibility is transferred to the shomer, that the shomer is the one who has to work now at elevating the nefoshos in that item and drawing down the supervision of Hashem on that item. Shezehu ikar hashmirah shel adalad shomer maksuvim b'Torah kanal, which that's the main fulfillment of guard duty that's described in the Torah, you know, in terms of the four types of watchmen. V'alkein, therefore, based on this understanding that all possessions of a person are plugged into a person, and they are the source of the nefoshos of that person, and as long as a person owns something, the example, if a person owns a car, he is responsible to understand and realize that there's a spiritual life in that car, and that he has the ability to elevate that, to be mala, the nefoshos in that car. How? By using the car to do mitzvahs, and by not using it to do averas, not driving recklessly, not running anybody over with his car, and not doing any crazy things with the car, but rather using it in a proper, in a safe way, and to do mitzvahs. That's how he's being mala, the nefoshos in that car, and that's how he's drawing down the hashgacha shleim of Hashem onto that car. That's the owner, and it's assumed to be his responsibility, because we said that the nefoshos of people are plugged into the ashiris of those people. So the owner, him and his family, are definitely, their nefoshos are plugged into their ashirus, into their car, into all of their possessions. And the responsibility of drawing Hashem's hashgach on that is theirs. Until and unless they actively unplug themselves, the guy says, I'm leaving town for 2 weeks, I don't want to be responsible for my car while I'm away, I'm giving it over to you, please watch my car. You have the use of it, full use of it, or this or that. At that point, he's saying, I am no longer involved in being mala than a foshois in that car. I'm giving that responsibility over to you. You're involved now in making that tikkun. The alkein, and therefore, kishehabaylim im ashomer b'malachtoi b'shas shila, therefore, in a case where the owner says, I'm not leaving, I'm lending you my car, and I'm coming with it. You need my car for a day's work, I'm off from work today, or I'm out of work, so I don't need my car. I'm lending you the car, and I'm giving myself with the car. I'm going to be in the car with you, you can drive it and everything. Then the car does not leave the possession and the responsibility of the owner regarding watching it. Because this is a general rule. Shekol dovor moishe chatzmoi l'sharoshoi. Every single object is drawn to its roots, to its source. V'chol hamalochos shanu oisim hakoil hu b'shvil birurim. And all the works, all types of work, and all things, all kinds of things that people do in this world are for the sake of birurim. It's a matter of refining neshamois. Hainu b'bchina sanal, as we said before. Rabbi Zal had told us earlier, based on Likutei Moran, that through all the work that a person does, all types of physical work, and all types of transactions that a person does, all of that involves being mala nefoshos, elevating the nefesh inside of something. We've given the example in the past. If a person owns a house for a period of time, he bought it, you know, kislev of Tavshin Nun. He lives in it for 3 years, 3.5 years, and he decides to sell it to someone else. He moves out of the house and goes to... What took place here? Rav Nosson explains what took place is that this house has nefoshos in it. It has spiritual kiddush in it. Those nefoshos were put into this person's control for a certain period of time when Hashem knew that he's in a position to do the tikkunim, the birurim that need to be done on the nefoshes in that house. As soon as he finishes doing what he can do, or what he needs to do, or as soon as time's up for him, time has run out on him, it's time for that house to go into the next person's possession, for them to do what they, for them to apply their changes in this assembly line process of being mala nefoshos and mevara the nefoshos in objects, it's time for them to take over and do their part to it. And we said, as a person is doing this, through all the malacha and masu matan that a Jew does, he elevates these nefoshos and makes them into the form of what's called mayin nukvin, which is the prerequisite for zivug. It's called female waters. That's what it refers to. The liquid that prepares the nukva for zivug. That kind of thing. This is why the Mishnah says in Perkei Avot, it's good to combine Torah with work, with parnasa, that kind of thing. This is why another Mishnah says that if there's no flour, if there's no food, there's no Torah. Kal yidei hakemach, dahainu haparnoso, b'chinas derech eretz, dahainu melocho masumatin, aydei ze daika mamshichem Torah. Because Rav Nosson Zal just showed us here, it's bedavka, through those actions and activities that a person does while he's in the pursuit of parnoso, whether it be work, business, all of those items, all of that involves ha'olas nefoshos, which is what's needed to bring down Torah. So Torah comes as a result of Derech Eretz, as a result of work and parnasa, making those tikkunim, being mala those nefoshos, that's what results in bringing down Torah to the person. Al yidei shemavarin, Through the person doing his malacha, which causes a birur for the nefoshos that are plugged into him, and he elevates those nefoshos, umamshichin Torah kanal. That's what gives that person the ability to be mamshich Torah. We see it on a physical level, that a person knows that they have to eat, and they have to wash their clothes. They have all kinds of bills to pay on a daily basis. So if a person wants to get to sit down and learn for a couple hours, first they have to work a little and earn a couple of bucks to pay their bills for that day. And as soon as he's earned the $12.55 that he knows are his expenses for the day, fine, he's finished with work. Now he can sit down and learn. But just to bring it down to a childish kind of example, that's on a physical level. We know that a person needs to have certain monies in order to allow himself the luxury of being able to sit down to learn and know that he's not going to be put in prison for not paying his bills and things like that, or his wife won't throw him out of the house, all the different things that can happen. Rav Nosson Zal is saying that on a spiritual level, you should know that it works the same way, that a person doesn't have access to Torah unless he does certain things first. There's a Mishnah that says, Im ein kemach, ein Torah. So that if you didn't do what the Kemach's supposed to do, you ain't going to have Torah. And if you're what do you mean I'm not going to have? Watch, I'm going to sit down to learn without going to work, and you'll see I'm learning. You're going to see it's going to blow up in your face. It's not going to work. Or you're not going to be able to learn with any kind of clear head, with any kind of moyach, because you didn't address this issue. And Rav Nosson Zal is saying, on a spiritual level, in order for you to be able to draw Torah down from heaven, you have to first send something up. What do you send up? You send up nefoshos. How do you send up nefoshos? That's the result of a Jew working in a kosher manner. When a Jew goes about the process of earning a living in a kosher manner, which involves interacting with people, and it involves transfer of money and transfer of possessions, there's all kinds of birurim and ha'olos nefoshos taking place when a person does that. When those nefoshos go up, that's when the person is able to get a portion of Torah. He's able to receive a portion of Torah from Hashem. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what we said earlier, sheishes yomim tasa malachtecha, uvayoyim ha-shvi shabbos. That the Torah makes a point of saying, work 6 days, and then on the seventh day you can make Shabbos. Ki Shabbos hi b'chinas ha-Torah. Shabbos is a nickname for the Torah. Ki b'Shabbos nitna Torah. Because the Gemara says that the Torah was given to us on Shabbos. So Shabbos represents the Torah. When can you have Shabbos? When can you have Torah? Only if you did 6 days' work first. Ki ha-Torah hi tlas gavnen deino u'basayin kanal. Because we learned earlier that the Torah was compared to the eye. Remember we spoke about drawing the Hashgach of Hashem down upon us, drawing Hashem's supervision, that Hashem should watch us with his eye, which consists of the three colored rings in the pupil. And we said that that's the symbolism in the Torah being made up of four sections. The Tamim, Nekudos, Tagen, and Osios. Rav Nosson Zal says here now, that's what Shabbos is also. The word Shabbos, V'zeh b'chinas Shabbos b'chinas Shin Bas, Kemuvah b'makom achar. The word Shabbos is a shin, which has three heads to it, and bas means the bas ayin. The pupil of the eye in Hebrew is called bat ayin. So the word Shabbos also represents the three plus the one, like the Torah was the three plus the one, like the eye of Hashem was the three plus the one. V'zehu sheishis yomim tasam lachtecho dahainu levarer ulahalos nefoshos. First, work for 6 days. Why does a person work? To be mal and nefoshos. If you'll succeed at being mal and nefoshos, v'yoy mashvi Shabbos, then you'll have the Shabbos, which means then you'll have the Torah. You'll be able to bring Torah down. Ki ha'ideze zoichan l'b'china Shabbos, b'chinas hamshochas ha-Torah kanal. V'yal kein ikar hamshochas ha-Torah, dahainu chidushin doiraisa hu b'Shabbos. Rav Nosson Zal says this is why you find that even a Jew who learns during the week, the best and most important time for him to receive Torah from Hashem is on Shabbos. And that's the main time for drawing Chidushei Torah, or high level of Torah. Ki Shabbos hu bechinas ha-Torah. Because we said Shabbos is the Torah. V'ha-koil kifima she-zocho levarer ha-nefoshos b'me'achoil. And it's all dependent on what he did during the 6 days of the week. To the extent that he was involved in doing the right thing during the 6 days of the week, working in a kosher way, this, that, to be mal and a foshois, then on Shabbos he'll get what he's supposed to get. Kemoshe Marzal, as the Gemara says, Misha Torah Be'er of Shabbos, Yoichel B'Shabbos. A person who worked hard during the week has what to eat on Shabbos. Nimtza, Shekol Hamalochois, Sein Bechinas Birurim. So therefore, we reiterate again that all types of work that people do are refinements, spiritual refinements. Hainu b'v'chinas anal, levarer ulahavois anefoshois ulahamshich Torah kanal. They're involved in refining souls and elevating those souls and thereby drawing Torah down to the world. V'alkein kishabaylim shalachayfetz heimim ha-shemer b'malachtoi. Therefore, when the owner of the drill is with the person who's borrowing the drill, Hainu shigam habaylim roitzim l'sayeyas ha-shemer b'malachtoi, which means, why did the owner come along? He's not coming along to watch. He's coming along to help. He's showing that he wants to help the person who wants to borrow his drill with using the drill, which means he wants to participate in the ha'olas nefoshos that that drill is going to do. By his building an Aron Kodesh, by his building an item of mitzvah, an item of kedusha, which is clearly going to affect ha'olas nefoshos, by the owner of the drill saying, no, it's not good enough for me that my drill should be working on this. I want to have part of this chus also, even though you're the one that's going to build it, since it's my drill, I want my drill to have this chus, and I also want to help. I want to hold the wire. I want to plug the thing in. I want to participate. He's saying that he wants to participate in the holos nefoshes also. The hainu levar birurim kanal. Shegam habaylim oiske mishas shilem ha-shem b'malachto ilisayeya loy levar birurim laholos nefoshes lamshich toiru. Because the owner is saying he also needs to participate in making these tikkunim and being mavar the birurim and being malan nefoshos, sheze ikra malachtei shalom kanal. That's the main job of a Jew in this world, to make these tikkunim, to be malan these nefoshos. V'alkein, therefore, me'achar shehabaylim oiskim b'malachtei shel shomer b'shas shila levare birurim shel shomer. Once the owner has decided that he wants to join with the person who's borrowing his object in making whatever tikkunim are being made, al kein taketh elu hanefoshos sheyesh bahadover hanishmar einam yoitzim klal mirushus habaylim. Then the nefoshos that are found in that drill do not detach themselves from the owner of the drill. Ki hem nimshochem l'sharoshom, because they are always attracted to their source, lahabaylim shelahem, to their owner, shehu yivarim v'aloisam. They're always relying and dependent on him, that he should make the birur, he should make the tikkun of the nefoshos. Ki be'emes ikar habirur shelahem al yotay daika kanal. Because we said before, the main birur of an object is only through its actual owner. Rak shehu roitzel estalik me'em alamoisum le'ed ha-shemer. It's just that the owner wants to detach himself to a degree, and he wants to give the drill to someone else. U'me'achar shehu misayeyas ha-shemer b'malachtoi. But once the owner decides to help the borrower of the drill with his work, which means levarer imoy birurim, dahainu lalis nefoshes, he wants to be involved in this process, al kein elu hanefoshes sheyesh bedvorim shel habaylim nimshochem l'sharoshem. Therefore, the nefoshes that are found in that drill are still connecting themselves to the owner of the drill, that he should make the tikkun. Shehu yevarerom me'achar she'oisek bebirurim shel hashemer, since the owner has decided to participate and share in the work of the shomer. V'alkein einom yoitzim klal mirushus habaylim. Therefore, those nefoshos don't leave the connection to their owner. V'alkein hashomer poter mishmirosom. This is why the borrower is exempt from watching the drill. He's not responsible for anything that goes wrong with the drill in that case. Ki ikar hashmira al yedei birur v'aliyas nefoshos. because we said before, what makes an item be watched? If the person does what they're supposed to do on that item, if the person is doing the proper birur and the proper ha'olas nefosha is on that item, then they're drawing down the hashgacha shleim of Hashem on that item. That's what does it. Shaydezeh mamshichem hashgacha, shezeh ikra shmira kanal. Umeyachar she'elu hanefosha is nemshochem l'sheroshem l'baylam shelehem. Once we say that the souls in that drill are drawn by nature to the owner of the drill, and the owner has decided not to detach himself, but he's helping the person who wants to borrow the drill, he's helping him drill, he's there helping him drill with it, so those nefoshes don't detach themselves from the owner. Nimtza shechozra hashmira labailim. So the responsibility for watching that drill reverts back to the owner of the drill. Ki ikar hashmira alidei aliyas nefoshes kanal. Because we said before that the main shmira of an item comes about when you're mala the nefoshes in that item. Fialkein potra shomer mikol minei hezek. Therefore, in this case, the shomer, the one borrowing the drill, would be exempt from all types of harm or damage that could happen to the drill. Ki ein hahezek al yodoi, because it didn't happen because of him. Ki hu eino yochel levaram al haloisam, because he couldn't make the birur that's needed in that drill, or the halos nefosha is there. Shezeu ikra shmira. Because those nefoshes are plugged into the owner, since they are with the owner at the time that this birur is taking place. Because the main shmira of an object is coming from Hashem watching over that object, and that comes about as a result of the birur and aliyas nefoshes. I'll give you an example. I'm saying just to give an example on the sort of. You have a machine. What kind of machine? What's a real expensive machine? Let's say you have a computer. A computer that cost $4 million. And you have, and there's a company that owns this computer. And they hire operators to run the computer. Those operators are pushing some buttons on that computer, and they're producing certain work with it and everything. If something goes wrong, if there's a short in the computer or something, can you say that the operator, the guy who's being paid $150 a week, or to work on this computer, that we're going to charge him the $30,000, to replace that part on the computer because there was a short in it? Ridiculous. But why not? He's the one who's there. The owner is in Florida on vacation. Why should he bear responsibility for it? He wasn't even there. He wasn't even in the country at the time it happened. The answer is, so what? The owner, in such a situation, the owner is super attached to the item. He hasn't relinquished ownership of that item in any way whatsoever. That operator doesn't have permission, to do it. To start taking on additional jobs. He's simply working on behalf of the owner doing the work. He doesn't have the right to take in additional, to use that computer any way he wants, so that kind of thing. So there's an example where, despite the fact that he's working with it, because the owner is super attached to that item, anything that has to be fixed or corrected or anything that goes wrong is clearly not on the one working with it, but it's on the owner of the object.
I
believe that's the rule. Normally, if it's in the place of the owner, then we understand it's the owner's. Whereas once the object is moved, if an owner lends a computer, he tells the worker, "You can take the computer home and work on it in your house. I want to give you the luxury; you shouldn't have to come into the office every day. Take it to your house and work on it there." Then usually he'll tell the employee, "But remember, there's this, because you're taking it to your house, there's a certain degree of responsibility you're assuming. If one of your kids comes over and spills coffee into that computer or something like that, you're going to have to pay the $2,000. So you better make sure to keep it in a room which is locked where your kids can't get it," that kind of thing. That's the norm. That's all when the owner doesn't come with it. An example we're giving here. Whereas if somebody lends somebody else his drill, somebody wants to put up a picture in their house, or this, that, and they don't have a drill, they go to the neighbor, "Can I please borrow your drill?" And the neighbor says, "Yes." If the neighbor says, here's the drill, take it, enjoy it, bring it back when you're finished, then we said, if anything goes wrong with the drill while the one who borrowed it is using it, it's on his head. Why? Because we believe, we as Jews, as Breslev and Hasidim, who learn Likutei Halachos, we believe, Emunah Shleimah, that the act of someone drilling a hole in a wall to put up a shelf for Sfarim, or this, that, there's haolas nefoshes, there's tikkunim being done, there's spiritual nefoshes that are being elevated when a Jew uses a drill to drill holes in his wall, where those holes are going to be used to help kiddusha, to help mitzvahs be done. By having a sfarim shop in his house, he's going to have access to those sfarim. He's going to see the sfarim and want to take them, whereas if they're in boxes, you know, he'll never use them or anything like that. So there's tikkunim and birurim being made. If the guy says, here, take the drill, use it, bring it back when you're finished, then the owner of the drill is saying to the other person, I don't want to be involved in those tikkunim and birurim. My drill, I have the schus that my drill is being used, but I'm not. I'm letting you do it by yourself. Whatever birur and whatever tikkun is going to be done by drilling those holes into the wall, you're doing it. You're the one who's being mal of those nefoshos. You're the one who's who is bringing the hashgacha shleima onto that drill, and therefore you're responsible completely. Whereas if the neighbor says, not only am I going to lend you my drill, but I'm coming with it to help you, I'll help you drill. Then the owner of the drill is saying, hey, I don't want to be left out. I want to participate in this haolas nefoshos. I want to participate in the birur that's going to be done by drilling those holes. If the owner is with his drill, then the nefoshos in that drill are plugged into him still. Even though it's in the other person's house, and even though it's being used on the other guy's wall, the owner is sharing in the haolas nefoshos, and between the owner of the object and the guy borrowing it, the owner has a much stronger kesher to those nefoshos. And therefore, the responsibility of drawing the hashgacha onto the drill then is more the owner than the other guy. And if anything will go wrong, it's coming from the owner, not from the one borrowing it. This is the way Rav Nosson Zal explained it. If you'll think into it, and again, if you'll review it, you'll see it makes a whole lot of sense. He explained this very clearly, based on Rav Nosson's explanation of when it comes to watching something, where does that watching come from? That there's this, that what a human being does on a human level is 20-30% of what's really needed to watch over items. And so that you really need to get Hashem to be watching over the item in order for the thing to be watched around. And Rabbein Azal taught us how you do that. Rabbein Azal had explained that there's a process that whenever a Jew does his part in being male nefoshos inside of an object, that's how he locks Hashem's eyes on the object and gets Hashem to watch over that object. And then Rav Nosson Zal went to explain, what do you mean the nefoshos in an object? What does that mean? And he explained that the nefoshos in an object are represented by the hanor that you get from that object. A table, which is used for storing, putting things on top of this, that, the plugging into the nefoshos of the table occurs by using that table for what its normal usage is. By deriving pleasure and usage from a table, that's how you're plugging into the nefoshos in that table. And when you use it, whether you use it for mitzvah or avera, will determine whether you're elevating those nefoshos or burying those nefoshos. It's up to you, the Jew. You are so powerful, you can do it, depending on how you decide to use an item, for Hashem, against Hashem. And again, depending, if you're mal nefoshos, you're drawing the hashgacha of Hashem on that. That nothing will go wrong with that table. That table won't chop off anybody's finger, and it won't break, you know, unless Hashem mamish wants it to. You know, you have super hashgacha, super shmira on that table. Baruch Hashem. Is in a different ballpark completely. We're going to start the laws of Geneva. We're going to have the laws of Geneva and Gzela, which is going to be the next 50 pages or so of Likutei Halachos, where Rav Nosson Zal has fantastic chidushim, explaining these topics. Stealing, whether something's taken away by day, in other words, whether something's taken away from somebody in front of them, armed robbery, that kind of example, or stealing where the other person doesn't know about it, that kind of thing. And the first halacha here, Rav Nosson Zal bases it on this topic, on this same chapter in the Likutei Moharan we're doing now, which is drawing the hashgacha of Hashem on an item. We'll start this tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.